Well, it's good to see everyone. It's good to be with you. And I'm just going to say I am grateful for cloudy skies, sweater weather, as we call it, right? Don't laugh at me. But yeah, it's great to see you guys. It's just a beautiful day. When I woke up this morning, I actually woke up a little late, I'll be honest with you. But just because it was dark outside. But it was good, and I just want to tell you guys something that happened to me before we get started. I want to encourage everyone. So the Lord tells us to take a Sabbath, right? On the seventh day, he rested, amen? And that is so vital for us, and I want to just share with you my own story about this really quick, because when we went up to the men's conference, men's retreat, that's what we talked about, was Sabbath. And I realized while I was up there, I wasn't fully giving myself to the Sabbath. You know, I was trading work for work. You know, I wasn't opening my Bible to study for the sermon. I wasn't opening my computer. I wasn't doing that, but I would trade it for other household things. You know, that's the day that you finish getting the lawn ready. That's the day that you finish all these other things. And I realized while I was up there that I just needed to stop. That's one of the things we talked about, was stop. Like, physically stop. And I'll tell you guys, it's life-changing to take that day of rest. You know, I set up my phones because we love our phones, right? We love to see what's going on in the world. Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, we have to scroll. And if you remember last week, I believe I said it, but we check our phone on an average of every 4 minutes. Is that amazing? Well, not amazing. That's crazy. But it's just amazing to think about that every 4 minutes, we look at our phone without knowing it. And now that I have all these parameters on my phone, you know, I set it up to where there's only two people that can call me from the church on a Saturday, and that's in a dire need, okay? There's only three people in my family, my wife and my two kids, that can get a hold of me on a Saturday, that can text me. Everything else is blocked. Social media is blocked. The only thing that's open on my phone is the Bible app, my messenger for my family, and a couple other things, but nothing else. And it's amazing what happens in that time of just... So I just encourage everyone here that find a day to take a Sabbath. Amen? Find that day, and I don't mean fill it with other stuff, fill it with other chores. I mean take a day of rest. It is rejuvenating, it is amazing, and then open your Bible and just see what God has for you. And then if you're like Lee, with his retirement, every day gets to be his Sabbath. Every day gets to be with the Lord. Amen? So be blessed, brother. Do it. So last week, if you were with us, we started going over the Beatitudes, okay? So we started talking about, hey, the world is crazy right now. The world has always been crazy, right? That's the world's MO. Crazy, 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 crazy fast, crazy nuts, crazy everything. And then now we live in a world where everything is fulfilled in a 60 to 90 second reel, right? So we started last week looking back and we said, okay, in a world like we live, how does God want us to react? And the best way to do that would be to look at the characteristics that Christ lived by. So we started looking at the Beatitudes to say, okay, if this is how Christ lived, this is how we should be the example. So Matthew 5, 1 through 6, we went through last week and we talked about blessed are the poor in spirit, as those who humbly depend on God. Blessed are those who mourn, those who grieve sin and find comfort in God's mercy. Blessed are the meek, those who surrender their strength to God's control. Remember, we talked about the world says meekness is weakness, but it's not. It's just surrendering to God's control, God's wisdom, God's power. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who long for God to fill them in with his ways, and asking God, how do you want me to live? So that's where we left off. And today, as we move into verses 7 through 12, Jesus takes us a little bit further. So last week, he showed us this inward transformation, but the next few verses is flowing outward, okay, into mercy, purity, peacemaking, and even how do we endure in a world that pushes back, okay? So it's last week was about what we were becoming on the inside, and this week is how we are sharing God on the outside. So kind of an illustration that I think we can all understand. Take a sponge, right? Can you all picture a sponge when you're doing dishes, if you do dishes? Okay, take a sponge when you're cleaning the house, anything. When there's nothing in that sponge, it's dry, it's useless, correct? But when you put that sponge in water, it fills up, okay? But here's the thing. If it goes into dirty water, every time that you squeeze the sponge, everything that pours out of that is dirty, okay? When you clean it and you fill it with clean water, every time something squeezes out, every time things come out of it, it is clean and pure. Make sense? So the same thing happens to us. What we fill our spirit with, what we fill our life with, when the world pushes us, when the world pushes back, when the world is like squeezing us, I challenge us, what is coming out of us? Is it clean? Is it of the spirit? Or is it dirty, murky, stubbornness, anger? What are you filling with today? So this morning, we're going to continue in Matthew 5, verse 7. So if you have your Bibles, would you take them out? You have your phones anyway, or just look on the screen. They'll be there too. There's multiple ways, but let's start at verse 7. We're just going to read through this and we're going to break it down. Verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word, as we are guided by you this morning, I pray that you would just open our hearts. I pray that you would just open our minds to what you're saying. And I just continue to pray for all of us just during these times of uncertainty and just everything going on. I just pray that you would protect us and just give us the humility to follow you and be guided by you so we can show the world of a loving and caring Savior. In your name we pray. Amen. So these are the characteristics of God. It says, when we start, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." So Jesus continually showed mercy. Jesus continually showed mercy to those who rejected him. Okay? He forgave the woman who was caught in adultery. Okay? When he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." On the cross, in all this hurt and pain, physical, emotional, what Jesus was going through, and all of that, when there could have been, when any of us think about it, could have been the time for him to call down angels, say, "I'm done. This pain is too unbearable. I want to be done with this. I'm over it." But instead, what he said is, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." So today, when we look at the news, when we look at social media, do people still watch the news like me? Do we have news? Yeah, yay! But when the world is just pushing this agenda of outrage and someone fails and society is demanding this shame and just putting all this guilt, where mercy is seen as weakness, you know, don't give in, push back. Our response should be loudly saying, because Christ has shown us mercy, we will show mercy. Because Christ forgave me of my sins, I will not hold you condemned in your sins. That is how we react. We forgive, we restore, we show compassion, we show love, we show mercy, we show grace. But we don't excuse sin. We speak into it, but we don't condemn it. Does that make sense? Do we know the difference? We speak into sin. Hey, this isn't right. This isn't how God wants us to live. This isn't how God wants us to act. But we don't say, you're at fault, you're this. We don't, okay? Because we show the love and mercy of Christ, but we speak loudly. So when others say that mercy is nothing, that you don't need to do that, get your revenge, seek it out, show what you want. We want them to see a glimpse of Jesus' heart on the cross from our actions when we show mercy. And we say, I forgive you. Think about when Jesus said that on the cross. If we said the same thing, if somebody was just coming at us or we were being attacked verbally or physically or something going on, and if we just mentally said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know. Father, forgive them, for they don't know who you are. So one thing that I've seen through these events that we have going on is that the world needs to be loved. The world needs to be shown mercy. We need to show the love of Christ. Remember when Jermaine spoke a few weeks ago in that lampstand that shines its light? Let's be honest, how many of us are sitting there with our lights turned off? Because we're worried about what the world will think, what the world will say, what will people do? Or, unfortunately, because we are a world of technology, we switched out our on and off switch for dimmer switches. We're like, I'm just going to, just a little bit of light, just a little bit. I'm going to shed just a little bit of God's grace and mercy, but I don't want that light to shine out so bright that people are going to notice me. That's not what God calls us to be. God calls us to be the light of the world, right? Not the dimmer switch. Not the little bit. And then we move on after he says, be merciful, for they will be shown mercy. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So Jesus lived with perfect purity, and he devoted his entire life, his entire purpose, everything he said, did, excuse me, was devoted to the Father. When he resisted temptation in the wilderness, and then also when he says, everything I do is to please him. So imagine when people spin stories, when influencers on social media are saying, this is how to live, this is how you get things, this is how we are to react. This is how we're to see money. This is how we're to see things. Like, look at me. When that is all happening, our response should be just live with sincerity and integrity. Not out of lies or deception. I forgot what show it is, or actually it's not a show. It might be a show. But I see clips of it on social media. And it's this guy who owns like a rental agency for jets. So like, definitely not my Southwest airline miles can afford any of this. But he gets phone calls from people all the time. about, hey, I need a jet to go to New York because I want to get to my favorite sandwich place. Like, are you kidding me? And just different things like that. And a couple of times I've heard it, and he'll be talking to like somebody, a young influencer. They don't say names for specific reasons, but they'll say stuff like, hey, I need to rent a jet because I'm having a party, and I want to pull up in front of this, and I want to make sure there's a couple cars and things in front of it so people see that what I have. But they're renting the image that they want to show the world of what they have. Look at me. Look at what I have. Look at what you can get if you act like me. Guess what? You don't have it either. You're renting it for a day. But you're showing the world that this is what it means. This is what I want. This is what I should want in my life. So, in a sense, it's teaching people to chase impossible goals. But are we ever sitting there sharing the light of Christ in the same way, with the same passion and the same energy? Something that is completely free to those who believe, completely free to receive, and pushing that on social media, pushing that on our friends list, pushing that on around our groups and work, schools. You know, when the world says we have to take God out of this, guess what? You can take God out of the school, but you can't take God out of me. And if I teach at that school, just like Jermaine was talking about, and I know other teachers that do this, praying over the desk, praying over the students. Prayer doesn't have to be out loud. You can be walking through your workplace. You can be walking through the grocery store and just say, pray for that man. Pray for that woman. Pray for that family that's going through it right now that's obviously having a hard day. I pray for them. And bring God to the forefront of our life. And when we do that, when we show these characteristics of God, it starts to pour out that sponge. We're filling ourselves with the cleanliness of the Lord. Our reactions, the way we treat people, the way we talk to people, the way we say things to people, just starts to become the way that Christ would respond. And then people are going to start noticing and saying, why don't you ever say that? Why don't you ever get mad? Why don't you ever push back? It's like, because I know Christ. I know Christ wouldn't do that. I know Christ wouldn't be that person. So purity, we need to live with sincerity and integrity. And purity of heart means that we don't have a hidden agenda, that we don't have false showmanship of what we're trying to push to the world, but instead we just live through God. When people point to culture, we point to God who sees our hearts, and he calls us to holiness. And then blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker. Everywhere he went, he was peace. There's division everywhere, guys. We've seen it, and we continue to see it. There's division over religion, and there's division in churches. There's division in our world. There's division on the TV. There's division in race. There's division in politics. There's division everywhere we look. And the world is telling us that division is a necessity. Division is life. Division is where we go. But our response is that we don't fuel that division. We don't fuel what's going on. But instead, we still step in, but we step into the brokenness with the peace of Christ. We listen to people. We reconcile with people. We point people to the gospel, and we say, Christ loves you. We say, Jesus wants a relationship with you. And we continue to point people. When people point fingers like this, we point fingers like this. And we say, he's the one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And we point people to Christ. Because people, whether we can see it or not, whether the headlines say it or not, people long for peace. People long for peace in their hearts. And when Christians create that peace in Jesus' name, It draws other people to peace in Christ. It draws other people to them. But when churches and Christians are acting a fool, let's just call it what it is, when they aren't acting as Christians, when they are not acting in the characteristics of Christ, when they're like, I'm a Christian, but I don't like you at all. Okay. I'm a Christian, but look at what this worldly possession I have. Look at what this work has given me. Look at what I've done. Instead of saying, look at what God has blessed me with. When we start pointing fingers, and here's a good one that sometimes we do. Jesus loves you, but just want to let you know that is horrible. You're really making me mad right now. Those actions, you're being a bad person. We can say, probably, I sound like a kindergartner kid right now, but we know what the words that really come out a lot of these times, okay? I'm not going to say them, but we know. But then we follow up with, but Christ loves you, I love you, Jesus loves you, but we're not acting as Christ would. So how people living in a confusing world already, and when we don't show the true characteristics of Christ to the world that's already confused about everything else, and then they hear, oh, to be a Christian is to be mad, to judge people, to be corrupt, to point fingers, to push people out, to judge people for who they are. That's what a Christian is, because that's what I see as a Christian being. So are we showing the characteristics of Christ to the world, or are we showing the characteristics of the world to the world? Have we bought into that? Because when the world pushes back, a lot of times we fold because we forget that we have the power of Christ with us. We have the power of God in our lives. And it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was mocked. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was ridiculed. Things were thrown at him, everything else. And ultimately, he was crucified for righteousness' sake. He was crucified on the cross. And leaders falsely accused him because they wanted him gone. And they said, he is this. He is this person. The crowd shouted, crucify. And Hebrews 12:2 reminds us that he endured the cross for the joy set before him. He endured the cross because he knew what it would mean for all of us. When Christ died on the cross, even in his pain and suffering, he still looked down and said, forgive them, for they do not know. Christ died for all of us, for all of our sins. So today, Christians are mocked for standing in truth, speaking boldly about Jesus, and they're ridiculed. They're like, don't talk about that around here. Even in families, we don't talk about that. That's not a dinner table topic. Guess what? I don't have to have dinner with you then. Because if I'm going to be with Christ, if I'm going to live for Christ in my life, I need to share Christ with others. And instead, we need to take a stand. And you know what that means? That might mean telling that family member, okay, if you don't want to love Christ, if you don't want to hear about Christ, then I guess I'm not going to hang out with you that much. Because everything I say, everything I do is because of Christ, and I want to share Christ. Or are we going to bottle up and say, okay, I'll suppress this when I'm at your house or when I'm in this environment or when I'm at these events. I'll suppress it to make you happy. Do we ever ask what makes God happy? Do we ever ask how do we share him? Because we are blessed when we are persecuted because of righteousness. So our response should be don't shrink back, don't just cower, but stand firm. Stand firm in our faith and be willing to say, Jesus loves you, even if it means you're going to get insulted, even if it means you're going to be targeted, but rejoice. Because belonging to Christ is worth it. Are you going to chase the pleasures of the world that we live in for the next 30, 40, 50, 70, 80, 100 years? Are you going to chase that? Or are you going to chase eternity with Him and the blessings in heaven when you say, look, this is going to be hard, but it's such a small portion of my life with the Heavenly Father. And whether we admit it or not, whether we believe it or not, if you don't believe in Christ, it's still a small portion of time. And then separation from the Father. So are we showing the characteristics? Are we living for Him? Blessed are those who insult you because and persecute you, falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. So Jesus warns, what happened to Him will happen to you. He was called a friend of sinners. He was accused of being demon-possessed. He was mocked as King of the Jews. And yet He tells us to rejoice, because rejection here on this earth, in our world, is proof that we belong to His kingdom. So when we're insulted online, rejoice in it. I sent a post out a little while ago, and just kind of speaks into this. It was kind of a long rant, I'll say, but it got a few views, got quite a bit actually. And on Facebook, you can do thumbs up or, you know, all those little emojis. And it was a couple hundred positive. There was one angry face, and I'm like, ooh, who are you? And so I click on it, because I'm the guy that I am. I'm like, find you out. And it was somebody who has no pictures, no name. Like, their profile picture was just an image of, like, fire and stuff. I'm like, okay. But it was like, there's that one. When everyone else is positive, there's always that one. But consider it joy. Because if there's that one, or there's those few that are going to push back, it's because it's doing something right. I was listening this week to a couple podcasts, and it just really popped in my mind. But the devil is not going to bother you if you are not a threat to him. The devil is not going to mess with you at all if you are not. What is the point? Oh, there goes him. Doesn't mess with me at all. Doesn't need to be messed with, because he's not messing with the devil's situation. But the moment you speak out, the moment you step into what Christ calls us to do, to be, that's when it comes. Because now you're a threat. A threat to a world that is his playground, the devil's playground. When we are saying, no, we're going to bring light to this. We're going to show God in this situation, because we want to show everyone in the world around us that we come in contact with who Christ is, who they can be with, who they can be friends with, who accepts them and says, spend eternity with me. We're going to show it to the world. So as Christians, we need to follow these characteristics. We need to follow how Christ is living. Because if we say, this is who Jesus was, the Beatitudes, this is who he is, this is how he acts, that's how we should act. That's how we should be. That's how we should treat people. So followers of Christ are called to reflect the characteristics of God. And if we've read through this in the last 2 weeks and you're like, I didn't know that, or I didn't realize that one, I challenge everyone. Memorize the Beatitudes. Memorize the characteristics of God. And start acting it out. When something happens, be like, I'm going to be merciful in this. And for those of you who are still seeking, still wondering, still saying, I don't know if I believe in this, Jesus seeks you out. Jesus invites you in. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. And we can't live silent in our world, because our world needs a Savior. And they will find one. But it's either going to be Christ, the true Savior of the world, or whatever else the world is feeding to them. So we need to be able to step up. But every beatitude comes with a promise of mercy, comfort, satisfaction, seeing God, being called His children, eternal rewards. So for Christians, we need to live the Beatitudes boldly, to be empowered by the Spirit. So let's just combine it all really quick as we close up today. The world says, be strong and be proud. Jesus says, admit your need and dependence on Christ. The world says, avoid pain, chase comfort, chase pleasure. Jesus says, mourn over sin and I will comfort you through it. The world and social media say, grab power, fight for control at all costs. Jesus says, be meek, quiet and gentle, and trust me to give you everything that you need. The world says, hunger for wealth, fame, recognition. Jesus says, hunger for righteousness and you will be filled. When the world says, get even, condemn, Jesus says, be merciful and you will be shown mercy. And you will receive mercy. And the world says, image is everything. Push for it at all costs. Jesus says, be pure in heart and you will see God. When the world says to stir up division, defend your side, Jesus says, be a peacemaker and step into it and show the love of God to the world around you. And when the world says, stay safe, stay silent, don't cause a ruckus, Jesus says, be bold in righteousness and the kingdom of heaven is yours. And when the world says, protect your reputation to seek applause, Jesus says, rejoice when insulted and persecuted because your reward is in heaven. So church, going through the Beatitudes, there's a reason why this is just the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount. Because when we read the Beatitudes, it's just the beginning of our time with Christ. It is just the beginning of how we live out in the world. But the Beatitudes are the characteristics that we live by. They're who we are. We make ourselves into this. So everything we do from here forward reflects the characteristics of God. So because everything we talked about, mercy, purity, boldness, persecution, they're not just personal traits we're going to talk about on a Sunday, but living traits that we want to exemplify in our life day in, day out. And when that happens, when Christians live out the characteristics of Christ, then the church shows Christ to a broken world. And that's what we're going to do from here. So we're going to head, like I told you guys last week, all my sermons didn't go in the trash, but because I don't have paper sermons anymore. But all my sermons went into a different folder, and I said, okay, God, where are we starting? What are we doing? We're preaching on the Beatitudes. God, here's your characteristics. Where are we going from here? So next week, we're going to start a brand new series. We're still working through Grow 55 and 25. But in that, we're going to go through a series called Unashamed. And we're going to go through the book of Acts. So now that we see the characteristics of God, we're going to go to the start of the church. And we're going to say, as Christians live out the characteristics, how does the church live out Christ? And we are going to look and examine how ordinary men and women like you and me lived with fearless, unstoppable faith for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to invite the worship team up. But as we close today, I want to ask you, Are you ready to live like that? When we look at the Beatitudes, go home on your Sabbath day, take that day of rest, read through the Beatitudes. Are you ready to live your life with those characteristics of God? And then I also challenge all of us to pray and say, God, what of these characteristics do I not live well? What characteristics of yours do I not show your glory through? Is my sponge full of dirty water? Do I need to repent, ask for forgiveness, clean, and then fill myself with your Spirit and share you to the world? Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we confess that we can't live this way without you. Your characteristics need to be how we live in our life. We need to be bold. We need to be merciful. We need to be pure, even in persecution. We need to stand firm on our faith and know that you provide a better way. And Lord, we just thank you as we leave here today and as we just humbly ask for your guidance, that when we walk out, when we walk into the world around us, that we would be showing them your characteristics, not our own. I pray that we would show your mercy where it needs to be shown. Pray that we would show your love. I pray that we wouldn't speak out in anger. I pray that we would speak your words and show a world who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.